You're still in the ANC.
Yeah, no, I get this question a fair amount. I am still a member of the ANC, still fighting the good fight.
Are you like one of those people who arrived at the club just as it's closing?
Drinks might be half price. It's like a better time to be there, no?
Oh, that's fair enough. Right, closing down sales, actually a good time to join the ANC. I never saw it that way. Oh, God.
Your Helen Zille is starting to come out here, Chester.
Three criticism. The ANC Women's League said it's finally ready for a female leader. Isn't that like Black Panther suddenly deciding he's pro-black?
Whew. Yeah. I still fundamentally believe in the ANC. We must never ever be told by the older generation that nothing can be done, right?
We have an amazing guest today, an actual member of the South African Parliament and an actual young person in politics. It's such an honor. All the way from Fees Must Fall to here. Hey, hey, it's Fasia Hassan Duma. Hey, how's it, Fasia?
Hey, Chester. So happy to be here.
It's great to have you, man. Listen, you are part of Fees Must Fall. Yeah. Well done. Have the fees fallen?
I think it depends on how you ask the question, you see. That's where the politician in me comes out. There were great, significant victories, Chester, but the reality is the work's not done. Higher education remains inaccessible. There have been some really great gains. NASFAS is now a grant, not a loan. But the reality is a young person who's just finished high school, who may or may not have overcome those structural barriers, is higher education accessible to them? Not as much as it should be. So until we have that, I don't think that we can say we're fully done with that cause.
But didn't Jacob Zuma-Mshelozi make the fees fall just as a last act to screw over Ramaphosa? Jacob Zuma had the same attitude to free education as old people at the climate change. It's not their problem.
Yeah, so right at the end, I think just before the ANC elective conference, the former president made the announcement. But the reality is that we were able to sort of, how do I say, we were able to buffer the situation. It was a good, I think, policy decision. I'll never disagree with that. But the way in which it was done, I think, was the problem, because you need some progressive realization. But more importantly, Chester, it's not just about fees. Many people think that Fees Must Fall is about only financial stuff. It's about decolonization. It's about the broader issues of what it feels like to be a young black person in universities, in higher education. And that's what I mean when I say we haven't quite gotten there, because our institutions are still deeply colonial. They're actually not teaching us what we need to. And the most important part, Chester, is people will go through the whole process, come out a graduate, hopefully, and still not be able to find a job or find meaningful economic opportunity. So
if only someone would look into that. If only there was a ruling party that was in charge of that problem.
Well, I think that's exactly it, right? And this is why we need more and more young people in the space. Because, and I say this even in the ANC to the senior leadership, that until we start taking seriously and really look at it as a national crisis, it's not just youth unemployment. It's about what it means for the future of the country. At this rate, we're going to be producing, in fact, we are producing young people who will reach the age of 35, you know, the quote-unquote youth ending kind of thing, who will never have had a meaningful job or a meaningful process, not only in the economy, but just that feeling of dignity and providing value for themselves. And now you're getting a whole generation of people who are not necessarily young, they're over the age of 35, and they're saying, but now there's no programs for us. And so what really the point here is that if we don't solve the youth unemployment crisis, what future do we really have?
Exactly. It is the big problem facing all of us. 62% youth unemployment. Yeah. I mean, the ANC helped kind of create that. So isn't this like farting and going, someone needs to fix the farts?
No, I think it's a bit more complex than that, right? We are coming out of, as we know, hundreds of years of colonialism.
Of course.
Decades
of apartheid. Colonialism, you know, is like, oh my God, apartheid happened. No, you're right.
No, it did. It did. But the reality is the structure of the economy hasn't changed. And that's why I must reference always colonial powers and apartheid, because fundamentally we inherited an economy that was never, ever designed for mass prosperity. I think that's the word, right? For black prosperity. And there have been various different policies. We know BEE, there are some criticisms of it. But the fact of the matter is that transformation is still critical.
There have been some criticisms of BEE. Oh, God.
Your Helen Zille is starting to come out here, Chester.
Three criticisms of BEE. Listen, man, I absolutely agree that this economy is profoundly anti-black and disenfranchises black and particularly poor black people and particularly black women at every bloody turn. There will get no argument from me on that. But the ANC has been running this economy for 31 years. So at some point, some Ramaphosa had some Rupert's hand in his ass that the change didn't happen. Surely that is not a criticism that's unfair.
Look, we have more people now who have economic opportunity than they did in 1994, right? In every other metric since 1994, we have increased, whether it's around access to water, electricity, education. But let me also say this, Chester, and I say this as a young person, right? The reality is that apartheid can never be the real yardstick. So even though things are better, politically and economically speaking, that can never be enough.
No,
because
exactly.
The reality
because
we have to have a better future. So we agree on that.
It's like winning a beauty contest when the only other competitor is Gwede Mantashe.
He's not a sweet guy. You know, I think he'd win the personality.
I love Gwede, but let's
the personality.
Yes, he's definitely missed the personality. That's a... Oh my goodness. Listen, man, the ANC Women's League said it's finally ready for a female leader. Isn't that like Black Panther suddenly deciding he's pro-black?
Whew. Yeah.
Shame, I could feel the pain. I could feel the pain. Oh, she's got all these aunties she has to work with.
Gogos.
And,
all these gogos.
Thousand gogos.
These gogos are wonderful, but they're also exactly that. They're gogos and they're aunties. So they also give unsolicited opinions about your weight, your life, when you're having kids.
Are you for real?
Yeah. When are you
you're
not?
You're very revolutionary, Fasia, but you
Why
really
you
need to stop eating.
Yeah.
That's insane.
These gogos, shame. They're like
Name
aunties.
And shame. Oh, Is it Angie?
No.
It's Nombula.
No, they're very good.
It's Nombula.
They are excellent.
I knew it's Nombula. We now know it's Nombula.
No, she's wonderful. She's wonderful. But to your point,
it's Lindy
right?
Rezulu.
No, she's actually the most exciting.
She
dances.
There we go. She's a revolutionary, isn't she? Yeah.
She does fun things.
But seriously, though.
But yes, women. So let me say this. Having women in the upper echelons is critically important for representation. But that also doesn't necessarily mean or equal women liberation, right? And that's the important point. So we can have women ministers, we can have a woman president even, which would be wonderful to have. But until we actually deal with those systemic problems, it almost doesn't matter. Because the reality is a poor black woman who's in a township, a queer poor black woman in a township is still subject to incredible amounts of physical, emotional, mental violence. So there's a great deal of work to do there. But let me also say, I do think that South African society is progressive enough to not only elect a woman, but also to put some of our best people forward. I think it was in the 2019 Parliament. We achieved gender parity, and we're actually ahead of many Western powers and countries all over the world.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
well done to the ANC on that one.
We did.
South Africa overall. Well
yeah,
done.
Yeah, both, right?
Halala. You're still in the youth league. Isn't that like a retro cool thing to do? Like where you do stuff that nobody does anymore, like listening to vinyl or calling people on a landline?
Yeah, doesn't that make us more interesting?
Well, does make you a little bit weird, I must admit. It's like, I thought the youth league got cancelled after Julius left.
I actually went to a wedding and they had like a vinyl DJ. And at the beginning of it, they were like, please no song recommendations. And we were like, wow, that's really oppressive. But then we got there and it was actually really fun. That was on a side note, right? All the coolest people.
Well, that's a lot
vinyl.
Like the ANC is you don't listen to feedback and then do what you guys want to do.
Yeah, but hopefully in the end it works out.
Oh, I used your own metaphor to stab you in the back.
But the reality here is that there's actually a lot of power in our hands. And let me explain what I mean, right? And I'm referencing this idea of fees must fall.
Yeah.
We must never, ever be told by the older generation that nothing can be done, right? If you look, right, at the population, majority of us are under the age of 35, right? If every young person of voting age just registered to vote, Chester, before you even get to who you vote for, just registered to vote, we would change the voters' roll. It means that myself and other young people across political parties or even a young person outside of partisan politics can say, well, actually senior leadership, actually President Ramaphosa, if you want this vote in the upcoming election, can you see that the majority of the voters are young? What are you doing for young people? How many young people are you putting forward? Who are the young ministers? Who is the next young leader of the party? And that actually is incredibly important because the reality also, Chester, is politicians are going to do what's in their favor, what's in their interests. We as young people need to force our issues onto the agenda.
Finally, a politician admitting the fact you guys are doing what's in your interest. Look at you.
No,
you're a young, progressive, intelligent, ready to change South African politician. But isn't that exactly what the ANC's stolen? There's no political home. That's why no one went to vote.
No
one went to vote.
Okay, people did vote.
No, but a ton of people stayed at home. So the ANC kind of stole the opportunity for a revolution and then like palmed it off. Then Julius stole it as well. Now you have to come. I mean, why stay in the ANC? Why not start a new party?
I still fundamentally believe in the ANC. The ANC is not an unflawed, it's not a perfect organization, no doubt.
Oh my God, that's
right?
an understatement.
But it's a truthful one. It's a truthful one.
It's a sinking ship. It's up to 40%. Surely you could do better somewhere like the EFF, or even if you made an MK like Join Floyd. Surely there's another option.
I have many options, many. And I still choose to be in the ANC. And I even have options beyond politics. I fundamentally believe in the project of why the ANC was created in 1912. And I think we've lost sight of that. We think it's only about this economic policy and this issue. And, you know, it's fundamentally about liberation, right? And it's fundamentally about liberation not only of South Africa, but of the continent and the global South. Is it a flawed organization? Yes, all organizations are flawed. But I still fundamentally believe, number one, that renewal is possible. But number two, that the vehicle for change in this country, whatever change it is, will always include the ANC in some shape or form.
Okay,
is why, Chester, I've chosen to remain here. We could in the future want to start a new political party, right? That may be a new conversation. I'll come back to the table a few years from now. We'll say...
We'll see.
Yeah, let's
inspect. I should have known that whole state capture thing real.
No, of course it's real. Of course it's real. And nobody must run away from it, right? And actually, state capture is a good example, ironically, of a governing party saying... Let's actually expose the things that are going on. Here you have a governing party who actually says, let's go into a deep dive commission to find out what went wrong. Not because it's going to be good for us. Of course, it's a very painful process. It's a very cancerous process. But in order for us to fix the country, in order for us to fix the ANC, we have to have these painful conversations and we have to do this painful process and ultimately purge the ANC of what I think has really destroyed it. And I'll say it, right? I think MKP is one of those things. In fact, it's actually very good that it's been created because now there's a political home for everybody who doesn't actually want or align to ANC value systems.
So MKP party is a home for corrupt people. Is that what you're saying? Oh, my goodness, finally. Yeah. But listen, you say there's commissions, you say Zondo Commission, you say that you guys created a way to talk about it, and then you did absolutely fuck all. Not you yourself, of course, but there could have been justice. There hasn't been anyone who's gone to jail. The justice system, we now find out that Mkhwanazi's told us the entire police force is doing the crime in-house, which is a matter of time for Uncle Gwede.
And what did the president do?
That is actually the police being more efficient, so they don't have to catch the criminals elsewhere. They're actually right there in Lithuli House.
What did the president do when Mkhwanazi came out on the Sunday and made these explosive allegations?
It took a week to put the guy on paper.
And if he had acted faster, we would have said he didn't think, right? So he actually went in, fired the particular minister or put him on special leave, let's say it in the right way, put him on special leave and said, let's bring in someone who has a reputation, who is ironclad against corruption, Prof. Firoz Khuchalia, put him in this place. But also, and this is the big important one, we fought for a constitution that has due process, right? We must follow the rules. There's A, B, C, D. In the same way you spoke about the State Capture Commission, and we must give capacity to the National Prosecuting Authority.
I think that's
true. They must do their investigations and their processes. And I'll tell you also about the Nulane case.
Yeah.
That was one of the first ones in the Free State that initially was... basically the NPA initially lost, took it on appeal, and the SCA has, I think about a month or two ago, said actually, and exonerated the NPA and said, this has been a mistrial, it must go back, because what the NPA was saying was correct. So we also need to give time for capacity building.
What happened in the Zuma years,
there was a hollowing out of all of these state institutions, and we're not going to fix that overnight.
Yes, no, you're right, there was a hollowing out, but let's deal with the facts. President Ramaphosa has the choice to put back in problematic ministers, and he only has so much political power. Judge Zondo literally complained that people that he warned about in the state capture report are now being sworn in. He's got to swear in the same scumbag that he warned Ramaphosa not to bring in. So why is President Ramaphosa not getting rid of the dodgy ministers?
I think it's not as easy as the public knows or thinks.
Of course
it is,
it's not.
Right?
No, of course not.
We mentioned at the beginning of this interview, the ANC is sitting on 40%. We're no longer in a majority. We have many different interest groups in the ANC, right? I know the EFF, you're always mentioning it, but the EFF doesn't have a democratic process. There isn't like this thing of someone can ever stand up to Julius and actually become the leader of the
party. No, that's
true. Right?
That's true. There's no democracy there at all. It's
exactly.
A one-man state. It's the North Korea of revolutions.
Exactly. But in the ANC, and I can even sit here and tell you, I actually don't know who's going to be the president in 2027 because there's a genuine elective process.
You guys know that money shapes your lists. You know that happens. You know they're brown paper envelopes, and we know that now this is part of what Nkonazi, Brahma Khotsi. Listen.
No money, and how did we get onto the list, right?
How are you going to make doing the right thing more appealing than corruption? Paul Mashatile lives in a 37 million rand house that he can't afford. The only thing he's renewing is his champagne glass.
That's not fair. That's not fair. He's accounted for that. And in fact, he's gone to the Integrity Commission.
Why is it that everybody whose dad gets into politics suddenly turns into a business genius? How does that happen?
No, let's have them on the show. Let me answer your question, which is what you're actually asking.
Yeah.
How do we create a culture in this country and in the ANC that rewards good behavior, non-corrupt behavior?
Yeah.
I think we've already started to do that, Chester. We saw it at the height of 2016. And I know we laugh about Zuma's fall and all the archetypes that came through about that. That's a separate point. But you saw a South African population, whether it was during FISMA's fall, whether it was during Zuma's fall later on, you saw a South African population who said, actually, no. Not in our name. This is the democracy that we fought so hard for that we're not going to allow to sort of fall by the wayside.
Listen, what policy the ANC do you think will change things? Like if we nationalize Spur, then we can say we care about our stakeholders.
But then the quality has to go up before we nationalize Spur.
Burn. You don't like those stakeholders?
No, I like Spur.
Oh, my God. You just dissed the Spur.
And I ordered a cheddar melt.
No,
because I ordered a medium rare steak recently. I'm going to sound so pretentious.
Yes, please sound pretentious.
And it came back medium to well.
Those bastards! I can't believe it! We need a commission of inquiry to come back into why your steak was too tough.
Well, I think we know
why. A politician had to chew.
Literally had to chew. But I didn't send it back. I didn't cause a scene. I was just like, Spur.
Look, exactly. I really appreciate you coming through. Thank you for making time to come talk to a puppet. I know being a member of the ANC is probably something you're used to, but the puppets of a white man, well, actually, you're also used to that. If the ANC is not the puppet of rich white people, why was Johan Rupert in the meeting at the White House?
Johan Rupert was actually invited by President Trump. So if there's anyone who's a puppet of anyone, I think there's a dynamic we need to look in.
You kicked the ball right back into that court. Well played.
But look, the reality here, the ANC is still not only the largest party, but has an incredible role to play in the total liberation of this country beyond just the politics. I know that people feel that the ANC has lost its way, and that is why you need young people and people with the right kind of moral caliber to be here. You asked me earlier, why do I remain a member of the ANC? Because I fundamentally believe that 62 million people need to be fought for in that space. You can be critical of it. Anyone can be. I'm choosing to fight a particular battle in the space. But 10 or 20 years from now, Chester, when we look back, the one thing I'll be able to say is that I did everything that I could in my power to transform not only the ANC, but the state and the space that we're in. And that is something that's incredibly important because I view that as a national duty and as a country duty. But the last thing I just want to say, that same fire that caused us to go to the streets in 2015-16 when everybody called us names and we were called hooligans and monkeys and all sorts of nasty things. That same fire of what made us believe so much in a better future, when we woke up, when we were arrested, shot at, tear gassed, all of those things, but we continued. That fire exists in young people in this country. You know, old people always say to us, you guys only want instant gratification. You have no patience. Gen Zs are this, millennials are that. That fire, that impatience is exactly what makes us great because it means we don't accept the status quo. So that very same push, that very same fire that was there in 1976, that was there in 2016 is here. In fact, we've said this to the ANC leadership. We're not waiting for you to unlock the door. We're coming. And we're going to come and kick it down because the reality here is that young people and South Africans deserve better. And we young people in the ANC want to provide that option.
Halala! We are very grateful for you being here. And I'm very grateful for you having such passion. Keep that passion going. I just hope one day you get to sit on the Palapala couch so you can afford to finance all this stuff. Thank you, Fasir. Thank you for coming to talk to us today. This was Real Talk with Chester Missing. Make sure you like and subscribe and follow Fasir. Where are you on? TikTok?
Yeah, I'm on TikTok, Instagram, X, at Fasir Hassan. And yeah, please do follow me. Let's continue the engagement.
Do it! Engagement.
And no Palapala couches.
Married, that is a weird way of expressing it, but that's fine. She's here.
And you wrote it in the couch.
And bye.